So, we're holding today Motzei Shabbos Kedesh 21 Yamim Omer and Daf Yud Beis. We're right smack bang in the middle of the sugya about the Zav, who is wearing the Kit Shel Zav. And the question was, why is it that the Kit Shel Zav would be a Bikot? So first we tried saying that it's a document that we brought to Breitot. Actually, we tried to say that maybe there's a difference whether it's a Zav Baal Shtei Riyot or Shalosh Riyot. We point that doesn't make any sense because we still need it for Sfira. And then we said, well, maybe it's the same day. And basically we came down to the question of, look, I mean, the guy's wearing this also not to get his clothing dirty. So why isn't that enough of a reason to watch it as something that's kosher to be motzi? That's basically what we're holding. And we tried answering it Friday, right smack bang in the middle of the sugya, by saying that the implication is that if you're wearing, you're carrying something which is there for the sole purpose of preventing your body from, or your clothing from getting dirty, then it's not considered to be a real chutzah, because it's not chashuv, it's sort of pot.
Is it a clothing?
No, this is not called levush because it's something that's not really on you. It falls off easily, and even though it's a kiss, it falls off easily, and it's also not. I mean, it's interesting that you raise the issue. There's a lot of discussion about women's sanitary napkins, especially in the days in which they used to have these units to clip them on and so on. They didn't have the, you know, they have nowadays the stick on things and so on. And this is all. There's all kinds of shadows that maybe actually that would be considered to be levisha, which we'll discuss because of other issues. There's more. For their bodies as well. Rishonim discussed sanitary napkins. So some of the issues over there would be to prevent the dam from being on the goof. That's more similar to Levisha. I'm taking over here to Tzulikinah for Kogodim, particularly. And that wouldn't be considered to be Derech Malvuf. So it's really to save your Begodim. Actually, there's a lot of discussion about things like rain hats. There's rain hats, but they're shaped in the same shape as the baguette itself. And many hold, so the Moshe was very mocked, but very much against it. He held it was pure tzulaitino, let's say a rain hat or something. That goes on top of the hat, right. But a lot of the posting here in Eretz Yisrael were makel on it, and felt that it was. Because it's shaped like the hat itself, it becomes now bottled to the malbush, and it's part of it a little bit longer. Of course, it's not the derech to remove it and carry it around. And then you get into the other problems of the seiros, but maybe you'll take it off. The halacha is b'shus harabim. But here we're certainly talking about itzule of a small area of a baguette where it's not going to be bottled to the baguette. It would be carrying, except for the fact that carrying needs a shear. So whenever the thing that you're carrying does not have chashivut, you're not chayav. So over here, the Zav carried this kiss, apparently, because the only reason that he's carrying this around is to prevent his clothes from getting stained. So it's not considered to be a real chutzah. And we tried to compare that, in a very poor comparison, we tried to compare that to the case. When you take a pot, turn it upside down on top of a wall in order to protect the wall from a rain that's falling on it or a gutter that's being emptied on that area as you're trying to splatter the water elsewhere. And over there it says, "In b'shvil shelo yilakakoto." These are the top words on that place. "In obechiyutam." So if your intent is to prevent the wall from being wet, it's not considered to be b'chiyutan, and you'll recall that chiyutan means that water or any of the other mashkin that originally come shalola ratzon do not fall on the fruit or on the vegetables or grain in order to be makshir liratzon, then they will not be makshir those things at all, and they will not be makabotum if something that be touches them. So over here, if any place along the line there was a desire to have these mashkin, then that's considered to be kiyutan, even though you didn't necessarily want the peirot to be wet with these mashkin. Now, over here it says in the Mishnah that if you put a pot down upside down because you're not collecting the water, then the water is only splattering off. Clearly, it doesn't have the chashivut of kiyutan. Therefore, the same thing should be true over here, the Gemara is suggesting, in that the kis of the zav is only there in order to prevent his clothes from getting wet, the same way that over here the upside down pot is preventing the wall from getting wet. Now, the obvious problem in that is midami. Hatam lo kaboy lo lahani mashkin klal acha kaboy lo lahai kis a kabuli beziv. It's a little bit an absurd comparison if you think about it, because we're not interested in defining the relationship to the pot. We're interested in defining the relationship to the water that's falling on the pot. We're not discussing the equivalent in this case would be to discuss the zivot. I mean, we're discussing the kis. We're discussing the pot. Now, there the issue over there was what? Whether these type of liquids are considered to be desirable. So you put a pot upside down, you're showing me it's not desirable. What in the world does that have to do with carrying a kishel zav where you know you need the kis? What's the difference? We're not interested in where, what purpose the kis is serving. It's not that the itzule tinuf doesn't make the pot is kosher, it means that this water isn't Lorenzo's own. So you're telling me, so the guy would rather not be a zav. Thank you very much. I needed a riot for that. But that's not what we're trying to prove. We know that you need the kis. How do you show from here that something that serves the purpose of keeping your clothing unstained is not considered to be a meaningful hotzah? Where do you get that from? As a matter of fact, it's such a horrible comparison that if you insist on comparing it on some level, and even that is very loose, but the truth is we're doing it only because of its ultimate impact, as we'll see in a moment. But if you insist on comparing it to the din of Heksha's Royim, and you yourself just quoted a Mishnah, it's the height of sophistry, not to quote the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah talks about a case where you didn't put the pot upside down. You put it right side up. And over there, the water was flowing into the pot. Now that's very similar to the Kishel Zav. And over there, the halacha is that the water is b'chiyuta. So, I mean, you could prove the opposite. Obviously, it's also a loose comparison. But certainly it means that the idea of itzulei tinuf is not per se not a useful and meaningful collection of water. So if you collected the water in the pot, you may not have desired to collect it, but the fact is you didn't turn the pot upside down. You wanted to collect the water in order that it shouldn't make the kotel dirty. Fine. That's a good enough reason to be considered kiyutan. So over here, again, obviously it's not the zivot that we care about, but the kis is needed, so it's not worse than the pot. And over here, the pot is even capable of making the mayim into kiyutan. So, I mean, the whole thing was ridiculous, your comparison. So let's consider, continue on over here. Hello, Daniel of the Seifa. If you want to compare it at all to the Inyan of Mashkim, then compare it to the last part of the Mishnah, where it says, Arevashe natna kadeshi erei delef letocha. On the other hand, you take this areva, which is usually a long container, which is, as we all know, is what you need when the roof starts leaking around here. You can't just take a cup, because then it always starts leaking to the side of that cup. So you have to take something that's wide. It's an areva. And it's something that's used usually for, you know, mixing dough. And you put it on a wall for the purpose of catching the flow, and that flow is there also, because you don't want things to get wet. I mean, so maimanitazin vanitzbin, water that spatters out of there, and water that falls over the top. In other words, once it fills up, always, invariably, you never get there in time to empty it before it fills up. So the water that fills over and falls down, that's not the chiyuta. But shebetocha, that water which is inside of it is b'chiyutan. So there you go. And if that's the case, then the hotza'ah over here is also just as chashuv as this pot is, because I want that kis to prevent my clothes from getting dirty. Ela abaya v'rova damritavayu. The real issue over here is a purely Shabbat issue, not so it's a general issue. This is the first time that we're coming to discuss this issue, which is the question of a milacha she'inat zricha legufa. We have a machloket all over Shabbat about this issue. It's something that's unique to Shabbat, and it's zricha legufa. Because the issue in Shabbat of a melacha, of course, is that it's not only doing something, it's doing something melachat machshavah. It's doing something which has a particular creative end in mind. And that end is defined by the way in which it's defined in the Mishkan. So whatever would be the norm as it's done in the Mishkan, that's what the melacha is. You could do that same melacha for another purpose, and then it's not the melacha. So you may have kibui in the Mishkan as part of the making of petilot, but if you put out a lamp in front of a choleh, that's not kibui in order to make petilot. That's kibui in order to turn off a light. That wasn't in the Mishkan. So that's considered to be a melacha she'ina tzricha legufa. I don't need it for the purpose in which it was, for which it was made in the Mishkan.
That's because I need the dirt.
Exactly. Correct. Same idea. So the question over here is, if you hold and I must tell you that there's a significant machloket Rashi and Tosfos in general about melacha she'ina tzricha legufa. The classic case, the machloket Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, is, and by the way, here everybody agrees it's asur, this min rabbanan. It's just according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's even the oraita. Definitely, the isur is involved. So the question over here, whether we would be matred because of the tzarech hazav, but there's always, in terms of otzash and tzifel gufa, we don't say it's mutar. But there's a big machloka. The classic case is somebody carries out the body on Shabbat. Someone died. Someone dies in the house. They carry the body out. Rashi's explanation of why that's considered to be a hotzosh, ena tzucha legufa, is because, well, as far as you're concerned, you'd rather a guy wouldn't have died. In other words, you have no interest in dealing with a body at all. And therefore, it's actually tzucha legufa. We're tzucha legufa. This is what you want. So now the question is, you're carrying it here, you're bringing it to the street, something that you need. You certainly don't need a dead body. Now the same thing would be true of the zivot. I mean, why in the world would somebody want to be a zav? He doesn't want to be a zav in the first place. So you're saying you need to have the zivot for whatever reason, to count or even if we go back to Sule Mitino, I mean, that's not considered to be something that I desire. I don't want it, and therefore it's not Zerfala Gufa. Tosfos later, much later in the Masechet, disagrees with that whole approach of Rashi in terms of Hotza'ah, and that the question of whether you would want something initially is not part of the issue. The question is, what is the current situation? The current situation is you have a dead body. You need to get the dead body somewhere else. It was like, Shaila, do you need to get it out of here, or do you need to get it somewhere else? That may be a question of Malach Hashena Tzricha Leguf. In other words, the Hotzar was not done in the Mishkan in order to get something out of where it is. It was done in order to put something in the place where it's going. Okay? So maybe that's the question of the Malach Hashena Tzricha Leguf over here. Certainly, I have no Tzarek in the Ziva at all. I'm simply trying to prevent it from touching my Begadim. There the Shaila is, that it's not, I have no real interest in this case, which is only itself, and there the case, by the way, by the dead body was on a bed. She moves the entire bed out, but the bed is bottled to the body. Whatever the din is of the body is, by definition, what happens to the bed. Over here, the case is bottled to the zim.
The body,
let me
say, the body was bottled to the bed?
No.
No,
the bed was bottled to the body.
Could it be that the body was bottled to the bed?
No. No, because you have no interest in the bed at all. The bed is entirely secondary. Yeah, the same thing is true over here. No interest really in the keys. You're just interested in what it's doing for you in terms of the zivas. Since the zivas per se is not what you're interested in, so don't need to be no chiyuv on the keys. So that's the machlokas over here. Ha Rabbi Yehuda and Ha Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you have over melacha she'ein tzucha legufa, which over here you don't need the zivot over here at all, that doesn't matter. Nonetheless, you're chayav. And therefore, it says over here that you're the zav that is motzi is chayav. Rabbi Shimon would say you're potter. Tanit vei Rabbi Yishmael, yotzei adam betfilin berav shabbatim chashecha, my taima, kiven diomar rabba baravuna, chayav adam lemashmish betfilin kol shah v'sha'ah, kavachomer mitzitz, matzit shein bo'el azkarah chatam rato rabba yal mitzchot tamid, meaning tamid in the sense of shelo yasir da'at mimenu. Tefillin sheyesh bevaskot arvei al achat kama vekama. Yokov mitkar tichinui lahu. Since the whole problem over here is walking out with something that you're liable to forget and continue to walk with it on Shabbat, it's not an issue in tefillin, because tefillin, we learn a kal vachomer from the tzitz, where the Torah unnecessarily repeats the idea of a hayam mitzcho, and it can't just be telling me where it belongs. There's a tamid. Well, we know it doesn't mean tamid. I mean, the guy goes into the bathroom, he doesn't carry the tzitz with him. He goes to sleep, he can't possibly carry any other tzitz. So the idea over here is that it means that he's not allowed to be mesiach da'ato from the tzitz. As long as he's conscious, he has to be thinking about that tzitz. And the tzitz only has one Shem Hashem on it. The tefillin have many Shemot Hashem, all through the parshiyot. So certainly, that which is on your head is meant to be in your consciousness. If the tzitz is, for sure the tefillin are. In that case, you're certainly not going to forget that you're wearing tefillin, and so there's no chance that you're going to walk out with these tefillin, end up carrying them on Shabbat.
Well, I mean, both in Ekronik, wearing
tefillin. Excellent question from our own Richie.
Who
is not asleep at the moment. I'll tell you when
the irony is that he is.
When he, no, it's not. And when he's awake, he's just, it's such a pleasure. But you need a reminder every once in a while. You know? No, that he actually is conscious at times.
Here's a vote for nocturnal daf yomi.
Maybe that's it, but I think it might have something to do with a long Shabbat afternoon nap. I don't know. But, but in any event, as Richie's asking, mashma, that in principle, if it wouldn't be for this, that we would make a gezerah. But the problem is, wearing tefillin on Shabbat is certainly considered to be derech levisha. And therefore, you wouldn't be chayav anyway. So why do we need this svara? We should say, you could certainly wear your tefillin, because even if you're wearing your tefillin, forget that you're wearing your tefillin, you wouldn't be doing anything so terrible carrying your tefillin on Shabbat, because it's always called derech levisha. The Rishonim are troubled very much by this question of Richie. And there's a number of different approaches. One approach is that our concern is that you will carry it in your hand, because since tefillin is something that it's a real tirchah to take off, and the taking off may indeed lead you to hold it in your hand. If you remember at one point, it's Shabbos, take off my tefillin, and then you'll end up walking with them. You're not going to put them on again and then take them off again. And so, mamela, we treat it as if it's a real hotzah. Others learn that it's avada. It's not like a gezerah. He's definitely, if it wouldn't be for this, he would definitely be carrying his tefillin. Because nobody takes off your tefillin unless you really have to. They wouldn't tell him, you have to take off your tefillin, so then for sure he would end up doing it. The other things, it's a chash b'yahoma. Tefillin is a hassle. Taking off your tefillin is a hassle. Lo yifaleh tkilah. Now the next case that we had in the Mishnah was, as we pointed out, a little bit unclear. Was it lo yifaleh tkilah ve'lo yikrel or aner?
We didn't finish
number
one.
Oh, okay, that's
very good. What happened with the Sabaya Rama problem? We just sort of left it. It's kind of fizzled out.
It wasn't a problem. He answered it.
Which is?
The two brightot are reflected in Rashidah.
Before that, we had a whole issue about Gezerah.
It was a Machloket.
And we just leave it at that.
Yeah, he was asking questions. We answered all the questions. Abaya still insists that there are cases where we don't view it as Gezerah L'Gezerah. We're willing to take what appears to be Gzera L'Gzera. The whole Gzera L'Gzera, as I mentioned to you, there's a little shonim and mechalik between Gzera L'Gzera, where the issue is you may come to do something wrong, and Gzera L'Gzera, which comes from a definition of what particular type of thing is. Such as the case of Carmelite, you may not be afraid that you'll end up bringing your drink into the Carmelite, because who cares even if you would. But the other way of looking at it is, once we create another Rishut, then all of the Hagdarot in that Rishut are the same as in any other Rishut, so we don't even view it as Gzera L'Gzera. Okay. But anyway, getting back over here, sorry, I skipped Tanya. Hananya Omer, Chayav Adam L'Mashmesh B'Bigdo Erev Shabbat Im Chashech. A person should always check his beged, either in our terms, because we have pockets sewn into the garden. In their terms, they would wrap around, a belt or something around things. So as Rashi said, it shouldn't be koruch on something. and thereby inadvertently carry it out. Rav Yosef Hilchatar Rabbeinu Shabbat. That is a major, an excellent way of making sure that you don't get into trouble on Shabbat, because that's the first thing that always happens to everybody. Lo yifala et kilav. The next piece of the Mishnah was really vague, because it says v'lo yikra l'oraner. Is that all supposed to be read together? Lo yifala et kilav v'lo yikra, because you l'oraner, because you may come to turn up the fire. Or is it two different issues? Lo yifala et kilav, meaning in general, anytime on Shabbos, even in the daytime. Because if you end up taking a louse off of a piece of clothing, you're going to have a hard time not killing that louse, that lousy louse. So, of course, you're going to want to kill the louse. So, but is there anything wrong with killing a louse on Shabbos? That's Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer Shita is Tanyam Rebbe Eliezer. Ha horei kina b'Shabbat, kilo horei gamal. There's no difference in the size. I mean, a kina, a gamal, it's all the same. It says that you're not allowed, when we know that one of the things that needed to be done in the Mishkan from the Orot Elim Odamim is they had to shech these creatures. So what do you think, just because it's big? I mean, that's the issue. And Akina, so Akina is little, therefore it should be butter. It's all Netilat Neshama, therefore we don't allow you to put yourself in a position where you may end up killing something, anything. And then there's a separate issue, v'lo yikra lo araner, that being,
no,
don't read.
It's not considered seder here.
Seder? It's considered to be nitzedah only. Sitting there waiting for you. As a matter of fact, if anybody's being tzad anyone, it's being tzad me. Shema yateh. Then the other question is over here, in other words, maybe you'll turn up the lamp. Remember, the ner does not mean what we call a ner. They didn't have those things. They had lamps. Lamps had liquid in it, and that liquid you could turn up the wick or turn it down, and thereby get a brighter light. You had to adjust the light quite often. And as it would burn, you constantly need to adjust it. We'll talk about the implications of that. Odilma tavar shemayata, or maybe there's nothing wrong with killing a louse, but there's something wrong with finding a louse. Now, why would there be nothing wrong with killing a louse? Because if you don't know the Rebbe Eliezer, then we take Orot Elim Odamim to be a model for not taking Netilat Neshama only for sexual reproducing animals. But these kind of things, as everyone knows, They are self-generated, you know. I don't know what the people who don't believe in evolution do with that, but anyway, that was okay to believe in spontaneous generation. That's all right. For evolution, that's bad. Once you see mechanism, that's bad news. But anyway, but because of the belief in spontaneous generation, and again, as we've pointed out innumerable times, halakha is not concerned with facts at all. It's concerned with the mode in which person relates to this planet as a simple primitive being. And certainly nobody has ever seen a louse sexually reproduce, and there you go, which proves that they must be spontaneously generated. The truth is, there's a machlokus over here, by the way, what a kina is. The Pirush Rabbi Yosef in Tosfos, a number of other Rishonim say that this refers to fleas, and brings a raya that the Afar Haaretz turned into Kinim in Eretz Mitzrayim, and it's fleas that you usually find coming up from the dirt, because mm-hmm. the other stuff comes from your body or your head. And Tosfos brings a raya, he doesn't like that at all. He says, on the contrary, fleas do reproduce sexually. It's the Kinim, what we call lice, that are always found on the body, and they must be generated from sweat and things like that.
But one of the things that created, that's a problem for kids, is playing sand, for lice specifically.
For lice?
Getting sand in their hair as opposed to...
And there's lice in the sand, you're saying?
Well, no, it creates, with the sweat and everything, that creates the environment for...
An environment, but we're talking about creating the thing, you know, a big difference.
Well, creating...
It'll take a few hundred million years of that environment to actually develop community.
From one day to the next.
Right. Okay. So in any event, the Shaila is, do we actually, it's mutter to kill Takina on Shabbos? And the only question over here is that you're going to look at it in the light. You may turn up the light to get a better view. Or is it also to kill a kina on Shabbos if we can't look for a kina even in the daytime? So from our mission, it's not clear. Says the mission, okay. Says the Gemara, let's take a look at the Braita. Tashma. Ein polin ve'ein korin la'or haner. That sounds like it's all la'or haner. Now, wait a minute. Mi alima mi matnitin, I don't understand. How are you? Why is that any stronger of a proof than the mission is? I can still read this. Ein polin, period. Vein korin la'or haner. I mean, you haven't proven anything from this Braita. Tosis points out that the reason that we thought that it's certainly an indication is because generally Braitot are more definitive, because they're coming to expand on the Mishnah. And if it were two different issues, it would have said Ein polin b'yom ve'ein korin la'or haner to make it clear. Furthermore, the flow of the language is much closer here to its being one thing. Ein korin ve'ein polin la'or haner. But the way that you have it in the Mishnah, it's this whole long thing. Lo yifalet kelav. It doesn't flow directly into lo yikrel la'or haner. Ein polin ve'ein korin. Man, that sounds like it's all one thing. But the truth is, you can't prove it from here. Okay, let's see from the next braita. Tashma, ein polin la'or haner ve'ein korin la'or haner. How about that? Elu min ha'alachot she'nomru ba'aliyat Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Garon. We're going to see a whole lot of interesting halachot that we were gozer all together in one place. These were some of those halachot. So shema min ha'tarvayu shemayate. Shema min, it's clear that both issues are focusing on something that requires good light. You can't use the light of a ner on Shabbat. Can you use the light of what we call a ner on Shabbat? Can you use a candle, a wax candle?
Non-adjustable.
Wax candles are non-adjustable, and therefore there should be no problem of Shema Yateh, because it's not going to do you any good to be Mateh.
Unless you move it.
That's not Yatem. That wasn't Xerah. That's a separate Xerah. Some do bring that, actually, including the Beit Yosef. In other words, there's other problems, aren't there? But a lot of the poskim say, well, you know, I mean, that's not the Xerah. You can't say because we said don't use a Ner, therefore you found a good reason not to use it. What we call a Ner, I mean, where do we see that your good reason was a Xerah? Don't make Xerahs just because they look nice. Because they were made in a minyan, and that's the Xerah. So to say, well, I can also think of a good reason not to use an electric light, you know, because you may turn it off if it bothers your eyes, whatever. I mean, I'm going to make a new Xerah now, don't use a light because maybe turn it off. Indeed, the Chazanish held there was a general low plume about using artificial lighting on Shabbat. Nobody agreed with him. The Mishnah Brura is matir using our candles.
Artificial, even electric?
Even electric. Because of a low plume. You know, when the real Shaila came up, it became a major, not to read. Yeah. When it became a major issue was with the old Primus lights. The Primus was an amazing, you don't know the Primus? Yeah.
Yeah.
But they had them, they were very popular in Israel. So the campers still use a lot. You pump it up, and you have a very, very delicate
mesh.
You have to get it just right. It gives brilliant light. You can't fool with it. You can't touch. You touch the mesh, and it just completely disintegrates. You can't do anything with it. It's either working or it's not working. That's basically the idea. And there was all Shaila. Is the din? That was before they came up with the Neirot Shaba that we have that are so well done. You know, the old Neirot Shaba used to sputter and. It's really recent that they came into their own. And so, okay, again, there was a lot of questions over there, whether a ner is a ner is a ner, and it's all part of one takana. The fact is, those of you who recall how popular these were in Israel will remember that even in the most religious shuls and so on, they used to read on Shabbat to the lights of the Primus. Those people who wouldn't use Hashemah on Shabbat would pump up a bunch of Primuses, stick them up on top of them. We'll see that the distance that isn't an issue. So they were matir the Primus, certainly matir the Neirot Shava, although it's an interesting historical sidelight for those who report that even though the Mishnah Brura was matir using candles on Shabbat, and he would read indeed with candles on Shabbat. However, he made sure that somebody had his hands tied behind his back, so he couldn't come to be matir. That was his own his own personal chumra, just in case. That's the Chabad's kind of
story.
You know, you wrap a towel around it. Actually, it was a towel that they used to wrap around his hands. Okay, it's interesting. Okay, so, but Lamaisa Mishabura is matir using candles. That does come up very often. The lights on Shabbat went out. The candles still burning on the table. Can you read?
Wax candles, but not oil candles.
No, certainly not. That's in there. Oil candles are in there.
Oil
candles.
Sure.
Okay, so apparently because it's Shemayn Yatra. Reviewed on Rosh Hashanah says, Afilo lafkin ben bigdo lebigde ishto. Even to look, I mean, you don't need an awful lot of light to be able to tell the difference between your clothes and your wife's. Says, Rava, that's only in Los Angeles. We know that Rava, what he thought about the people in Mechuzah. The people in Mechuzah, they don't do any work. They got into this whole unisex stuff. They can't tell the difference. People who do their work, they work outdoors, they're in the fields and so on. The men and women clothing doesn't look the same at all. Even in B'nai Mechuzah, namely L'Arm of the Zikenot, Aval the Yeladot, Mida Yadi. Bottom line is these men are fat slobs around here in Mechuzah. So maybe the old women's clothing look the same, but the nice, sleek, young ladies, you'd never think a man could fit into one of those. And therefore, you can tell the difference. Tana Rabbana, Ein Polin Rishut HaRabim. The truth is, by the way, I'm just putting this into modern terms. If you want to know the real styles in Mechuzah, according to Rashi, it was very fluffy, big dresses for the young ones, and just simple dresses for the old ones. It's actually the other way around. But again, obviously, it would depend on whatever location you're talking about. Tana Rabbana, Ein Polin Brishut HaRabim. At no time, forget about Shabbat. It's disgusting. They're taking your clothes and looking through them for lice. Good Lord. That's with Nea Kavod. Kayot Seva. Om Revi Yodav Armele Revi Nechemya. Ein Osin Afik Toizan Brishut HaRabim with Nea Kavod. It was quite popular, as you know, in Roman times to do a little vomit trick, so you could fit some more room in. That was called an effectus yon.
What is it?
An emetic. An emetic. Oh. Sticking your finger down your throat.
Orgies.
The gorging themselves.
Yeah. But don't throw up in Rishut HaRabim.
Down the street.
Now, we do it nowadays too, except now they hospitalize you for it. But unfortunately, this is not all that rare. Eating disorders. I could see you don't have any teenage girls lying around the house. But anyway, the gorging and the vomiting is unfortunately part of modern society as well. But they don't do it in Rishut HaRabim because they try to hide it. But in Rishut HaRabim, in those days, the slobs would go ahead and vomit in Rishut HaRabim. You can't do that. Mifnei HaKavod. Tana Rabbanan, HaMifaleh Kelav Molel Mizorek Ubilvat Shelo Yaharog. Someone who is doing this checking of his begotten, so on Shabbos he can take off the kinnah, mush it up a little bit, being careful not to kill it, wash it, just sort of disorient it, get it good and dizzy, flip it around a couple of times, and make sure that you don't get back on me again, Buster.
And there's no union of
tzaddis. But don't. We'll see about that in a moment. Uvachelo yaharog. As long as you don't kill the thing, whereas Abishol says, "Notel v'zorek v'vachelo yimlol," you can take it off and throw it away, but you can't be molel, because if you're molel, you may actually come to kill it. Now Rashi says, apparently he holds like Rabbi Eliezer that killing it would be an isidiraisa, it would be chayav achatz. Therefore, he makes the gezerah v'lo yimlol. Mashenkein. The Tanakhama held that it's not a problem, because even if you kill it, it's not an isur, and therefore why should just, again, this is the right way to do it, because it's first of all, even during the week it's disgusting, and on Shabbos lechatchila it's asur, but only min rabbanan. Now, Omer Avuna Halacha Molel Vizorek Vizeu Kvodo Vafilo Bechol. The halacha is on Shabbos, you should be molel, and obviously you can be molel, throw it, and that's the correct way to do it, even Bechol. Rabba Mikatealu, whereas Rabba would squish them, and Rabba, Shadilai Lakana, the Maya Rabba, would throw them in, they would drown them. And Rav Nachman told his daughters, listen, I want them dead, and I want to hear them screaming. I want to feel revenge, do you hear me? So he said, K'tol and kill them. V'ashme'in li kala b'sanvati. Let me hear the sounds of the screaming of my drowning enemies. I hate them.
We're talking about wheat cake.
No, that's Shiloh. We're talking even on Shabbos. If he would hold that it would be that it's mutter because of the anything that is being mitzayer, you know, and so on. But Lamaisa, the Rashi learns it's makatea even on Shabbos. Tosis brings the Rivashi that it's only bechol, and it's going like Ravuna basically. But as Tosis says, we're so mech on Rashi to actually kill these things on Shabbos, and as long as they're bothering you, you should kill them. Now the question is this a raya? And this is very fascinating. Is what level of life raises the questions of Tsar Baalei Chayim?
I'm thinking mosquitoes.
Is this a post-herbalism?
So here the question, actually Reb Moshe has a big tshuva on this issue. He brings a raya from here, from this Gemara, that there is no din of Tsar Baalei Chayim on insects. There's not enough of a developed mind, brain, to be self-aware of pain. It's just basically an automatic reaction, and therefore there's no inyan of being careful not to hurt them. However, he points out, you'll notice it says that he threw them into water. Why did he just smush them? So he says there's another question, which is the behavioral impact on a human being, in which even though these things might not feel pain, but the act exactly, the inflicting a crushing blow on a Baal Chai desensitizes a human being, and therefore wherever possible it should be avoided. Some suggest, I didn't make the suggestion himself, it's interesting, some of us tell me to suggest that maybe that's why it says Vizel Kivoda. Why does it say don't kill it? I feel a bechol. The pashas are going, because squishing is disgusting. But no, maybe the point is, as a human being, it's your honor not to be the one to administer the death blow.
Well, Nachman doesn't seem to worry about it.
So, okay, that could be in order to teach the halacha.
How can you kill a fish when you catch it?
No, there's no, what do you mean? There's no shaila about your right to inflict pain on an animal as part of your tzrachim, as long as you attempt to minimize that pain. But over here, why do you have to kill the thing? Just get rid of it. It's not going to bother you. No, we need to kill it.
You're just getting even.
Yeah, he was making a point that there's no iser in this at all, and I want to get even.
What about mosquitoes? What's the din of Shabbos as far as...
No, mosquito isn't viewed as a... I mean, Lamaisa, it's not. I mean, I can't say that there weren't times when people didn't believe that mosquitoes were generated in stale water and so on. But, I mean, the Gemara definitely views mosquitoes as reproducing.
What about fishing with a hook? Would that be considered... Would that be a bouncer around the tournament? Is there a bouncer around the time about fishing? Would that be... What for instance?
Look, shechita is also no fun. The way in which we never find a hakavana.
You don't have to make a sport. I mean, making a sport of it.
You mean sport? Stop sport fishing.
Yeah, no. Well, you can fish. But I'm saying, when you go to the fish store, they take nets. They don't necessarily put it with the hook. Goes.
You're talking about Badavka sport fishing.
You can't
bring a raya from here that it's mutter. I mean, these are much lower level of developed life than a fish is.
The fish or the fisherman?
Actually, I think we're going to need to deal with this.
No, I just got a picture of the another, because there are guys like way up north, up north in the middle of nowhere, and
have
a great sitting in a shack with a case of beer, where it's not cold enough, they got to drink beer as well.
We have a clear rider from the Sugya before.
It was fun, though.
It says, Omed Lafouche is bought. Omed Lafouche?
Lafouche. I have come and I, every time I throw out the rod, that it's for my meal, it's for my sustenance. Then I can,
Richie,
even if I have fun,
I guarantee you, you have no problem. You've never caught a thing.
Okay. Like more, we're talking theoretically.
That's the part of the economy. We think other stuff.
Continues the Gemara now. Let's see. We still have Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. In Horgina Tamar Kolet B'Shabbat Ve'Beit Shemai U'Beit Hillel Matirin V'Chein Ayah Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer B'Shum Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. The same way you can't squash a bug, you can't be mashad of your kids. Phew. They're not really connected, though.
But what's machon?
Mishadchim et atinokot la'areis. You don't make a shidduch on Shabbos. The reason is because we know you're not allowed to do anything that can lead to writing any transactions. I mean, a transaction. V'lo et atinok l'lamdo sefer v'lalamdo umanut. Nor can you hire a teacher on Shabbat, whether it's to teach him Torah, whether it's to teach him a profession. Ve'in menachamim avelim, ve'in mevakrim cholim b'Shabbat. Nor do you do nichum avelim or bikur cholim, all of which is true only ali b'divrei Beit Shammai. The reason is because in the act of being menachem le'avel or mevakir d'chole, you experience pain and you lose your oneg and joy of Shabbat because you empathize with the person that you're coming to.
There's no avelim on Shabbat.
Sorry.
We seem to do with
Malachi. Well, we'll see. Well, let's wait. Ubeit Hillel Matirin. All of the above, Beit Hillel is Matir. The Shiduch Mimitzoh Heftzecha Hidarshins Veloch Abtei Shamai, since it's a mitzvah to teach your child either Torah or a career, and it's a mitzvah to marry off a child, there's no iser in going through the discussions that you need to make on the issue. And it's a chiyuv to be mevaker chayla and to be menachem avel. Now the truth is that it has become somehow not mekubal, as the recent post can bring, to be menachem avel on Shabbat. But miikaretin, this is the halach. Tanu rabbanan anichnas levakeret achole. What do you say to a chole on Shabbat? Normally, when you're mevaker a chole, the din of bikur cholim is not an option. The din of bikur cholim is mechayev you to say a tefillah for the speedy recovery, to address HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be mispalo for him. But you can't do that on Shabbat. So what do? You say Shabbati milizok urefuah kirova lavo. That, look, I can't pray for you today, but for sure, you're going to feel better soon. Rabbi Meir Omer, Yecholahi Sheterachem. You could say to the Cholet, Shabbat has powers. One of the powers of Shabbat is it can bring you Rachmei Shamayim if you respect the Shabbat. And if you will honor the Shabbat and stop being sick, then you'll get better. So don't feel any pain today because it's Shabbat. This strong psychological component. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, as long as you don't address HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you make it a statement, there's no problem in saying HaMakom Yirachim Alecha V'al Kolei Yisrael. You're not saying May God. You're saying God will have mercy upon you and on all the ill of Kol Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda says the correct way to say it is HaMakom Yirachim Alecha B'toch Kolei Yisrael. Should always include an individual among the rest of Yisrael. Now, here the question is whether we should darshan Shivna or Shachna. Shivna, as we know, was an unsavory character at the time of Hizkiyahu. And because of that, Tosfos wonders, why would we call? I mean, you're not supposed to call people in the name after Rishayim. So he suggests maybe this is Shachna. We do find in the Gemara elsewhere in Seita, Shachnachi Hillel. Maybe this was Shachli in Yerushalayim. However, the Re argues on the Rabbeinu Tam and says, what is that supposed to mean? Which is because find one guy that was a no goodnik with that name, so therefore nobody can ever use that name again. And if some no goodnik is called Avram, then we stop calling Avram. I mean, what does that mean? And anyway, there were a number of different Shachnas, and he brings Raya from Sukkim, that we have the Mazkir, and we have the Asher Alabayit, the Sofer. I mean, it's not the same person. So what's the problem with having somebody with the name of Shibna, even afterwards? But anyway, now that we are wondering who said it, but whoever did say it, his suggestion was, B'knisato Omer Shalom. He would just say Shalom, as usual, when he came in. U'bidziyato Omer Shabbati Milizov, Rufuak Rovalavo, V'rachamav Merubim, V'shiftu B'shalom. Enjoy your Shabbos, don't be mitzayer on Shabbos, and everything will be okay. Come on, as Adam Amar Rebbe Chanina, Mishish Lechole B'toch Beito, Tzarich She'arven B'toch Chole Yisrael. And according to whose Shita would we say of the above, that you should always include your Chole that you're praying for among the rest of Klal Yisrael's Cholim? Come on, Rebbe Yossi, obviously, was Rebbe Yossi who said B'toch Chole Yisrael. V'yomer Rebbe Chanina B'koshi Yitiru L'nachim Avelim U'levaker Cholim B'Shabbat. The truth is, it wasn't so pashut. We recognize that you're compromising your Shabbat in trying to help out other people's Shabbat, but nonetheless, we were matir then. And Omer Abba Barbachana, ki havi azlina batre de Rabbi Elazar, b'shiyule b'pticha. When I would follow Rabbi Elazar around to be mevaker cholim, there were times in which he would say, ha'makom yifakdecha l'shalom, depending apparently on whether the ill person understood Lashon HaKodesh or spoke only the vernacular, the Aramaic, he would either say Yamokum Yafaktecha L'Shalom in Hebrew, or he would say Rachmana Yatkirnech L'Shalom, which is the same thing in Aramaic. But the question is, now that's already a tefillah. God should. How do you say a tefillah in Lashon Arami? V'yomer Rabbi Yehuda al Olam, how yishal adam tzirachav b'Lashon Arami? Never use Aramaic for asking something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan, kol asher tzirachav b'Lashon Arami. Anybody who does that, ein malachei asharet nizkakim lo. The malachei asharet will not bring your tefillah up to the Lord. She'ein malachei asharet makirim b'Lashon Arami. Malachei asharet, they don't understand Aramaic. This is, what the heck is that supposed to mean? I thought Malachim know what's in your mind, which by the way is not true necessarily. The Grub brings it to Machlokas, the Shas, and the Zohar as to whether Malachim are aware of human thoughts. But one way or the other, I mean, it's a little bit strange. Certainly Gabriel, he was the one who taught Shivim Lashon, which, why wouldn't he have taught also Aramaic? Many learned, the Rush learned with Pshenheh. Ein Makirin means they refuse to recognize. We do not grant recognition to. Okay, Ein Makirin. We don't understand it. If you're such an idiot that you're so close to Lashon HaKodesh and you insist on speaking this bastardized language of Aramaic instead of the real thing, we will not grant you any recognition. There you go. That's a shaila. There's a machlokas. It's not such a simple question. There is, in fact, a machlokas as to whether this is Aramaic, the Dafka, because of the fact that it's so close to Lashon HaKodesh. It's interesting, the Rambam includes Arabic because of its similarity to Lashon HaKodesh. We've got to speak Arabic already. Why not go all the way? He has an interesting letter in which he talks about how he's sorry he ever wrote in Arabic. It's about Rambam. Somebody wrote him, asked him to have the Yad HaChazakah translated into Arabic. You know, I mean, after all, you know, you have all these other things in Arabic. He yes. says, I'll tell you the truth, I'm sorry I ever did it. And at this point, you know, why don't you just learn Hebrew? It's very simple Hebrew. Even a child can read my Hebrew, and I think that's what you should do.
His book of logic is in Arabic, too.
Yeah, everything he wrote. He has Harata. It's not really Arabic. I mean, it's Yiddish Arabic. You know.
Yiddish.
Jewish Arabic.
Okay. Yeah, it's
I thought Aramaic was a holy language.
Yeah, it's just saying that it's a Kal Vachomer. If it's notice, that's how Lord they learned. Even Targum, which was given on Har Sinai, if you're going to speak that kind of, but as I said, the Russian ones don't get Targum because it's too close to the real thing.
Is Rif Shmei Aramaic?
Ah, exactly. So the question is, how do we deal with those issues? There's two things where we can use Aramaic. One of them is the Gemara's Teretz here. Shaine Chole Dishkina Imo. A Chole is different because you don't need those Malachi Asharis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so ate at that Chole, he's sitting there by the bed at the moment that you're being Mavakir Chole. So you can address him directly, and who cares whether the Malachi Asharis grant diplomatic recognition or know what you're talking about? Who needs Malachi Asharet anyway if you can speak directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So therefore, Amar Ravan and Amar Rav, Minayin Shechina So'ed Et HaKole. How do we know that the Shechina directly nourishes the ill person? Shnema Hashem Yisa'adenu Al Erez Devai. That God himself is being So'ed, is supporting him while he is on his sickbed. So therefore, you're addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tanya Nami Yafi HaNiknas L'Vakir Et HaKole. If you're walking into someone's sick room, lo yeshev lo agave mitav lo agave kisei, you cannot sit on the bed, you cannot sit on a chair, which is the height of the bed, because it's a chutzpah, since the Shechina is in the room, you shouldn't be sitting on that level. Ela mit'atef v'yoshev lefanav, you should be wrapped up in your talis, and you should be sitting in front of the Choleh, because the Shechina is l'mala mirashotav shel Choleh. Shenemar Hashem yisa'adenu al eres divai. So the teretz that we have here, that is being directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is brought also legabe tfilot in a tzibur. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present with the tzibur, when there's 10 people, so then the Shechina is there. Therefore, you can say Baruch Shemei, or you say Yehi Shmei Rabbah, and so on, directly, because these are things that are only said b'tzibur, and we don't care if you speak in Aramaic. Of course, this is the reason of, I'm sure you know, that we have the Akdamas are in Aramaic. Must have heard that one. The beautiful Akdamas song on Shavuos, yeah, is in Aramaic. Why is it in Aramaic? Not so that nobody should understand it, but it's so beautiful that the concern was that the Malachi HaSharet would just be so angry and jealous about this beautiful song and all the great things that it says about Yisrael. You know, you don't want to get anybody angry, so you speak in a language that they don't understand. So since they don't understand Aramaic, it was written in Aramaic.
Well, what does the Rosh say?
They say by Kaddish also.
That's right.
Why would we
need
to make
a
malachim instead of directly to the
Rosh? They're not made chas v'shalom, not made to malachim. So they need to be transported by malachim unless the Shechina is present. That's what a malach means. A malach means an agent. An agent. The question is, does the agent function?
There's no direct line.
The literal meaning of malach is agent.
There's a segment
of the Stichot. Yeah, messenger. We use the word malach for messenger as well.
The segment of Stichot, near the end.
No, that's horrible. Never say that.
What? Even in Tzibur?
No, you're not allowed to talk to malach.
No, not that section.
The part that says malach hey,
yeah, no, not that one. There are tefillot in the end of Stichot that are so specifically if one is not with dominion, then one can say it. Mm-hmm. Not the one about the malach.
You mean the Aramaic?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. That's something else. Those tefillot that seem to address malachim.
There's a parak that says straight out, specifically
talk
speaking to
Malachim. Bring my tefillah up to the Lord.
Oh, like at the end of the sermon. Yeah.
You're not talking to them, you're talking to
the nobody people. Allows it. They only say that the kavanah is that you're giving orders to the Malachim. Okay, guys, go bring it up. It's certainly not the way that it looks. Nobody done it. And most of the Rishonim say it's just straight out kfira, these the Rambam writes in a number of places that most of the slichas are just plain kfira. So I don't even want to tell you the names of the authors because it's real lashon hara. But these are guys that are respected and it's just disgusting. You never say this kind of stuff. You definitely should be careful. What do you have to get involved in? There's very often this type of ritualistic speaking to midas and speaking to malachim and so on, which is all avodah zarah. So continues now the mission next week. The lo yikra la oraner omar rova. I should say afilo gavoa shtei komot. Even if this ner is so tall, by the way, shtei komot doesn't mean two stories high, because in those days a koma was not called. Koma means the koma of an adam, not of a binyan. So even if it's double the height of a person, in other words,
so you can't reach it easily.
You can't reach it. I don't care if you have shtei mar da'ot, which was a common way of measurement, which throughout the mission they measure with mar da'ot, lies in Mark Twain. Even if you have a 10-story house, you can't read la'or aner. So we made a low look. But the mashma'ut is that only one individual cannot read. Chadu de lo likre. Hotrei shapir dam. If there's two people reading, then that would be okay. But doesn't the Braita say lo echad velo shnayim? Amar Rabbi Elazar lo kashe kan b'inyan echad, kan b'shnei inyanim. If you have two people that are reading together, so then the one person is aware of the other person's actions and is going to stop him. We don't assume both of them will forget, but if they're both involved in their own book, at that point you won't pay any attention to what the other person is doing. There's a machlokas. We've shown him whether this means reading out of the same book or just reading the same issue so that you're aware of it and talking to the other guy and so on. Omer huna ubimidurat. You got a very bright midurah where there's more than one flame. So then afilo asarab ne'adam asur. Because, first of all, the light gets in your eyes. You can't really make out clearly that the other person's about to try doing stuff. And besides, you're sitting far apart from each other. If there's a midurah in the middle, you may simply not be aware. Omar Rava, im adam chashuvu mutar. If the person who's reading is an individual who would never himself fix his light anyway, he's got valets to do that kind of thing. I'm going to get his hands dirty, and if the light goes off, someone will do it for him. So he doesn't have a problem. Meisvei lo yikra lor aner shemayateh. Said Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, and Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was certainly an Adam Chashuv. Aniak revelo ateh. Someone like me has no problem. Pamachat karau bikesh latot. And there was a time when he was reading and found himself just about turning up that lamp. And he said, wow, kama gedolim divrei chachamim shayu omrim lo yikre lo aner. The Gra points out that he quotes lo yikre lo aner instead of quoting the Braita Shema Yateh. That's the whole point. You see how great it is that the chachamim don't give you their reasons. Because if they give you their reasons, you'd end up not taking them seriously. And then, indeed, you would end up being nichshal. So that's the kama gedolah divrei chachamim. Rabbi Natan omer, no, kara v'hita. What happened was, is he did turn up the light. V'katava pinkaso, and he made a little note on his personal palm pilot. Ani Yishmael ben Elisha, kariti v'atiti ner b'shabbat, l'kishibane beit ha-migdash avi chatat shmina. He committed himself to bringing a nice juicy chatat to take up the chet here. Some learn that you only have to write this down where there's a machloket. It's machloket whether your chayev actually karet on havara, because the Torah specifically says the isra of havara, and according to one shita, as we'll see soon, the havara is only lalav yatsa. So he wrote it down because maybe the Sanhedrin at that time will tell him he shouldn't bring it. Or others will know it goes according to your time. But that's not so question.
Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was If not, if not, if not, the time of vice chairman.
He's an important guy, yeah. He was the guy that went up.
Oh, so he was both before and after, basically?
Yeah. Sure.
What type of practice is this? I mean, he knows Mwaf is Asur, he knows Day of Shabbos, and it seems like more like some sort of Mizasa. Like, why is the practice in this case?
Well, obviously, when he turned it up, he forgot it was Shabbos.
I'm just saying, that moment he...
He forgot it was Shabbos, Omer Baba Shiny Rabishwa Ben Elisha, Hoyal Mesi Vasva Divrei Torah Kedya. That's no kasha. Yishmo Ben Elisha never treated himself like an Adam Chasha when it came to Divrei Torah. He wouldn't ask somebody, bring me the safer, go get it. Wouldn't ask somebody, turn on the light. He would do it himself. So he indeed, the Gezer applied to him. Tony Chodah, Shamash Bodeko Sotve Ka'arot Lo'oraner. Now one brighter says, that a shamash is allowed to use the ner on Shabbat to check the silverware and the plates and make sure that everything is clean and it's the right stuff. V'tani yidach lo yivdok, whereas the other one says, no, he's not allowed to be bodek. So, how do you explain that? Well, actually lo kasha, kan b'shamash kavua, kan b'shamash she'ino kavua. Now there's a number of different ways of learning this. If he's a shamash kavua, there he needs to do a very good job, and he's worried, and therefore he's going to look very carefully. He may be mate. If he's a shamash enokavu, he's temporary help. Everybody knows the way you get temporary help. You might as well do it yourself. So therefore, he's not going to be looking very carefully. The Tosis was just the opposite. That the shamash enokavu means he doesn't have tenure. So he's scared he's going to get fired. He's more likely to do a good job because this is they're testing him out. Whereas the Shamash Kavua, he figures, all right, if there's a little stain on it, they're not going to fire me already. I've been a butler here for 47 years. Okay, so that's what we might say, Mahava B'Shamash Kavua, we'd have to say, Mahava B'Shamash Enu Kavua. V'lo Kasha, depends whether you're using an oil lamp or you're using a kerosene lamp. Kerosene lamp stinks. And over there, you're not going to start playing with it because if it's working, you're happy enough. Iboilu, shamash she'eno kavua. How about if it's a shamash she'eno kavua, but it's oil? So we have one of the advantages. I mean, mahu. Omarab halakha ve'in morin. Look, it's mutter. But you can't start spreading this around. I mean, the next thing you know, there'll be mezalzel in the whole gezerah of inquiry more on there. Whereas Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba says, no, halachal morin came. Actually, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba once came to visit by Rav Asi, and his personal valet gets up on Shabbat, and he's checking over the things before he feeds him. He's checking over everything to the Oraner. So Rabasi's wife got all upset. I'm like, he said, hey, wait a second over here. You never said we could do that. Marlo Avidachim. Omale Shafke. Let him go. Rabbi Svirle. He follows his Rav. His Rav is Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba said, Allah Ha Morin came. You can't get down on somebody's back because he's following his own Rav. Can you? Nowadays you can. And then you couldn't. Okay, Jim. Good night. Richie, we'll see you in the morning before you go.
Clean that up.